And there was another young man that was in attendance and heard this reading from the scripture. And he felt strongly impressed that Christ was addressing him personally in the words of the gospel text, especially when it came to that part, "If you desire to be perfect, go sell what you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." That young rich man that was in attendance of that service in Alexandria was, of course, St. Anthony the Great. And he did, in fact, do just as Christ commanded the rich young ruler in the gospel text. He took his inheritance, gave a portion to his sister to take care of her, and then took the rest and gave it to the poor. Then he made his way into the desert and lived there the rest of his days, becoming the father of monasticism, the greatest of the desert fathers. Down through the centuries, this particular passage of Scripture has been troubling. It's a difficult passage to digest. And there's a variety of responses down through the centuries, from the extreme of what St. Anthony taking it literal and living that out, to people who simply explain it away and say it has nothing to do with us and give all kinds of explanations as to why it doesn't have anything to do with us, especially in our world and the context in which we live. And certainly, we need to explain the passage, because the passage has content that is necessary for us and for our perspective on the Christian life. And in understanding this passage of Scripture, it's always important to look at the context of the Scriptures. It's always important. In any time that we're trying to understand what the Scriptures have to say, we have to look at them in their context. And so we need to remember the context of where this saying arises. We need to remember that this was a specific saying that Jesus directed towards a specific individual. It was not a sermon that Jesus delivered on a mountaintop to the masses. It was not part of the Sermon on the Mount that was going to be taught by Christ's disciples to the rest of his followers, Christians in the future and so forth. This was a specific conversation. One individual came to Jesus asking a very personal question. What must I do to have eternal life? It's an important question. He doesn't say, what must everyone do to have eternal life? He was asking a personal question. What must I do to have eternal life? And it's a great question because it was especially a sincere question. And Jesus answered in the standard way, keep the commandments. But the man wanted more of a specific answer than that. Which commandments, he asked Jesus. And then Jesus goes through the list that we hear in the gospel text this morning. And his response to that is, I have kept all of these. What am I still lacking? We have to understand, he was seeking something. There was something going on in his heart. He knew something was lacking. He knew that God was calling him to something else. He hadn't discovered it, and he has done all these commandments, and he says, what do I still lack? So then Jesus responds, if you desire to be perfect, sell your possessions, give it to the poor, you will have riches in heaven, and come and follow me. Well, it's always important to consider in this passage, does Jesus really expect every one of us to hear these words and to take them literally and apply them literally in our lives personally? I don't really think that that's what the context is. My point here is, if Jesus intended everyone to live in this manner, wouldn't Jesus have delivered this in a context where everyone heard it in his ministry? It wouldn't just be something that appears in one context with a specific individual. This was a specific charge given to this specific individual. And thus, it doesn't apply literally and personally to every one of us. However, it doesn't let us off the hook quite yet. And that's certainly not my point this morning, is to simply let us off the hook. There is a balance that is here, and certainly Christ doesn't call everyone to give all of their possessions away to the poor. There is a place that we can honor God with what we have by still living in gratitude and thanksgiving to God for the things that he has, by still living in generosity, giving back to God and giving to those who are in need. And there is a context that we support the ministry of the church because we have things to give to the ministry of the church. If all of us gave everything away, how would we support the ministry of the church any longer? We wouldn't have anything to support the church with, right? There has to be some individuals in the context of the community of faith that are supporting the work by their finances, by their giving. So there is a context in which some people have to have the possessions to support those who do ministry and the work of the church. But the dangers of riches is certainly one of Christ's most prevalent themes. If you're going to make a little chart of all the kinds of subjects that Christ brings up in his teaching, riches comes up again and again and again and again. And each and every time Jesus is bringing up this concept, he's teaching us that there are dangers that are embedded in riches. We have to understand that in the context of his day, most of the people that were hearing Jesus believed that riches were a sign that God has blessed you, that God has put his seal of approval on your life, and that is why you are rich. And so everyone wanted to be rich. So Jesus' words are kind of outside the context of what they expect to hear from a holy prophet, a good teacher. But again and again, Jesus is very blunt and to the point that riches pose dangers in this life. And especially when we love riches and we allow riches to grip our heart, it will control us and influence us. So though this particular statement is not directed towards us personally, we can never say that this passage has nothing to do with us, because clearly it does. And as Christ continues, he has a conversation with his disciples about what just took place as the rich man goes his way. And there he makes a statement that is indeed a universal truth. He says, "Truly I say to you, it will be hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." See? And the disciples are troubled by this. But then he concludes and says, it's not impossible with the help of God. With God, all things are possible. But he's in essence telling us, for most people, it's going to be a heavy burden and not something that we can probably handle. But the other thing that is clear about Jesus' teaching is that he never, ever hid the fact that we all have a cross to bear in our discipleship. Again and again, he emphasized the fact that we all have a cross to bear, that we must deny ourselves, take up our personal cross, and follow Christ. He says that we cannot serve two masters, that it's impossible. We will love the one and hate the other. It's not possible to serve two masters. We either serve God or we don't. We either love God or we don't. We either give our lives to God or we don't. And all of us must learn in this life to choose Christ above everything else, above everyone else, above everything in this life and everything in this world. And riches has often been a stumbling block that gets in the way of Christ for individuals, that riches have gripped their heart in such a way that they love the riches too much to love Christ with their whole heart. But riches isn't the only struggle that there is in this life. That's not the only thing that Christ taught us, and that's certainly not all that the Christian faith points to. Maybe riches are not the struggle for every human being. Certainly, I've met more than one person in my life that could care less about riches. They're not about stuff. They're not living their life in a way to accumulate stuff. They're not into it. They don't really care that much about stuff. But the reality is they care about other things. And there are other sinful passions that can engage our heart besides the passion of greed. And again and again, you witness, all of us have struggles in our lives. We have a passion that's going to grip our heart. If we're not careful, it will influence us and lead us away from Christ and keep us from Christ. Yes, there are people who may not care about riches, but they care about other issues, whether it's their own image, whether it's the quest for power, whether it's gourmet food, whatever it may be, they have some kind of passion in their life that is engaged, that they want to engage, that has influence over them. And so what we must understand in this context is to apply what Jesus is saying to this rich young man to our lives in a way that is appropriate. Whatever sinful passion is aroused in us, we must learn to put Christ above that. For this rich young man, it was his riches. Riches gripped his heart. And Christ clearly saw his heart. So when he asked, "What am I lacking?" Christ pointed to the one thing that gripped his heart, that he loved more than Christ, than God. The one thing he lacked was giving up that hold that riches had upon him. But whether it be riches or not, all of us have a thing or two or perhaps three or four or five that grip our hearts, that keep us away from Christ, that are a hindrance in the progress towards the kingdom of heaven. They're an obstacle in the path that leads to the kingdom of heaven. And the truth is, when these things are in our life, they have influence over us. And we have to recognize that influence isn't leading us to God, but away from God. Perhaps these things can become even idolatrous things in our life, where we even have a subtle worship of these things, loving them more than God. And we, like the rich young ruler, must learn to lay it all down, whatever it may be. We have to choose Christ above all else. The rich young ruler had to learn to lay down his riches. But all of us have to learn to lay down whatever it is that separates us from Christ. And by the way, it is one of the traditions of this passage. I wasn't necessarily going to spend time focusing on this, but I think it is important to note that there is at least one ancient Christian tradition that identifies this rich young ruler as, in fact, the Apostle Mark. And that later in time, he comes and makes a full circle, and in the Gospel of Mark in particular, it tells us how there is this individual at Christ's crucifixion that is wrapped in a linen shroud, that the tradition also points to. That's Mark coming back, only wrapped in a linen shroud. It's only in Mark's gospel, and he doesn't identify the person by name. And all of this suggests this truth that it is Mark, and that he has, in fact, come back around and given up the riches and then followed Christ. But we also need to recognize something about the rich young ruler, that, in fact, in many ways, he is a few steps ahead of us. Despite the fact he walks away from Christ when he hears that one thing, that it's hard for him to swallow in that moment, he still has some things that are right about his life, and I want to point those things out. First of all, he kept the commandments. You know, this isn't a small thing to say he kept the commandments, but those commandments that Christ identified, he was faithfully keeping those commandments. When he says that to Christ, "I've kept all of these, what am I still lacking?" Christ didn't say, "No, you haven't. What about this, this, and this?" He doesn't challenge him. He doesn't say, "You're a hypocrite, you're a liar." Christ, who sees all, who understands all, clearly affirmed by the fact that he gave him that one thing that he was missing, the fact is he was keeping those commandments, and that's not a small thing. He was a man without violence. He was a faithful man. He was an honest man. He was an honorable man. He was an individual who loved his neighbor. He was a good, pious man. And then the second thing that we have to recognize here is that he didn't rest on his laurels, saying, "Let me pat myself on the back, I'm a good man, look at all the commandments I'm keeping." He didn't rest on his laurels, he was still seeking to improve. He was seeking, in a sense, perfection in the eyes of God. And thus he asked that question, "What am I still lacking? I'm missing something. What is it, Christ? Tell me what that is." And both of those qualities are huge qualities that sometimes are lacking in our lives, let's face it. We need to ask the question if either of these things are true for us in our lives. Do we keep these basic commandments? It's not a given. Okay, maybe we haven't killed anybody. Maybe we can all say that. But what does Christ say about murder? What does he say about anger and calling your brother a fool? And what does he say about the issues of the heart and the mind? We have to recognize it's far bigger than whether we've committed these outward acts or not. We have to recognize, what are we doing in our hearts? Are we on that path that leads to murder because we hate somebody in our heart? You see, these are by extension the same, the concepts that we have to struggle through and not just presume, "Well, I haven't murdered anybody, therefore I'm doing okay." No, there's a whole level of application that is there. It's not a given. Some of these things are not easy to fulfill all the time. It's easy to love your neighbor when your neighbor is a saint. But what about when your neighbor is a loud, obnoxious, belligerent jerk? Is it really easy to love our neighbor then? Not really. It's not, right? It's a struggle, and we have to recognize this. So the young man, he was keeping these commandments. And there's something important about the fact that he was doing what he knew he needed to do. He wasn't looking for that one thing while still not doing the things in his life that he needs to do. He was doing everything that was in his power, everything that he knew to do, he was doing. And then he was seeking the one thing. You understand my point? Sometimes we want to know, what's the one thing I'm missing? But we still have a truckload of a bunch of stuff that we're not attending to. Things that are not easy for us to face, things that we don't like, things that make us uncomfortable, whatever the case may be. That's just things that we haven't followed through with in our life. And yet we're seeking one more thing, a word from the Lord. Let me know, Lord, show me what that one thing is. Well, he's showed us already a bunch of things in our life that are missing. We already know those things. Are we doing the things that we already know we should be doing? Are we following through with those things? You see, this young man was doing just that. He was following through with what he knew. But then he didn't rest on his laurels. He asked what he was missing. And we need to learn how to do that, how to ask the Lord what we're missing. Ask the Lord, what are we not doing that we should be doing? Because when we ask that question, the Lord has a way of answering that question for us. It's not as if the Lord answers us in an audible voice, but he does make the path clear to us. He shows us, he reveals to us what we're missing, what we're overlooking in our lives. I think sometimes we're afraid to ask that question because we don't want to hear the answer. You know, because if we ask the question, the Lord will give us an answer in time. But I think we're afraid sometimes to ask that question. It's a lot easier to plead our ignorance or claim that we simply don't know. The truth is, as we hear this passage today, whether it strikes us the same way as it struck St. Anthony the Great or not, there is certainly a message that is here for us to heed, for us to pay attention to. We must be reminded of the dangers that riches possess, that the riches can present to us, and how riches can easily grip our hearts, how riches can easily become an obstacle that blocks the path that leads us to the kingdom of heaven. However, that's not the only message that is here. There are many things in our life that can occupy that place in our heart, that can grip our heart, that can become an obstacle, that block our path, that path that leads to the kingdom of heaven. We must remember that Christ must be held above all, above everything else in this life. And whatever obstacle may be in that path, whatever thing may be separating us from Christ, that needs to be removed. We need to remove it from the path, or we need to go over it or around it or under it or whatever the case may be. We need to take care of that obstacle so it's no longer an obstacle in our lives. Like the rich young ruler, we must give up everything that keeps us from Christ. We must learn to deny ourselves and take up our cross. We must learn to lay those things down, to give them up for the riches of the kingdom of heaven, for the fullness of life in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.